when Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament went up Mount Moriah so long ago for a very special offering. It was a foretaste of Calvary. It was a dress rehearsal for Calvary. It was a picture, a prophecy, an Old Testament portrait of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one could, without divine inspiration, write a book like the Bible.
For over 50 years, pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers preached to audiences and touched lives all over the world with his unique brand of solid biblical teaching. His teaching has been described as profound truth stated so simply a 5-year-old can understand it, and yet it still touches the heart of a 50-year-old. And you'll hear that in these messages on the basics of the Christian faith. Have your Bibles ready and join us for today's message. Before we begin, remember, you can follow along with Pastor Rogers' outline and notes on today's message at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
Would you take God's Word and find Genesis chapter 22? And those of you who've known and loved the Bible for a long time know that we're on sacred ground in Genesis chapter 22. Now look up here after you've found it, and let me remind you of something. That at 11:30 a.m., May the 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary stood at the very top of Mount Everest. He was the first man to ever climb that mountain and reach the top, 29,002 feet. He planted the British flag there. No man could climb higher on this earth than Sir Edmund Hillary climbed when he climbed Mount Everest that day. Up sheer walls of ice, howling winds, deep crevasses, rock after rock, steep, torturous, dangerous, up and up and up, Sir Edmund Hillary went. But there's another mountain, spiritually more steep, spiritually more costly than Mount Everest. It is when Abraham and Isaac went together to climb Mount Moriah. And we're going to see that today, because when Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament went up Mount Moriah so long ago for a very special offering, it was a foretaste of Calvary. It was a dress rehearsal for Calvary. It was a picture, a prophecy, an Old Testament portrait of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No one could, without divine inspiration, write a book like the Bible. And I hope today that you'll be blessed as I'm blessed as we look into this wonderful chapter, because the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 56, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Abraham saw Jesus. He rejoiced to see my day and was glad. And in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, we read that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Now Abraham lived centuries before Jesus Christ was born in the flesh upon this earth. There's several things I want you to notice in this chapter. The very first thing is what I want to call a special person. And that special person was Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham, was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you how. First of all, his birth was prophesied. Go back to Genesis chapter 18, if you will. And we haven't read yet from Genesis 22, but just go to Genesis 18 for just a moment, and let's get a running start. In Genesis 18, beginning in verse 9, "And the angels said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife?" That is, speaking to Abraham. "And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That is, Sarah had gone through the menopause. It was, her womb was no longer productive, and Abraham was presumably too old to have, to father a child. And so when Sarah heard that she was going to be a mother, the Bible says in verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now here's the key to the whole thing. Look at it in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? By the way, I want to ask you that question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, underscore that, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That is, here is a birth that is prophesied, and it was a miracle birth. Isaac was born of a miracle, just as the Lord Jesus was born of a miracle in his virgin birth. Now also, not only was his birth prophesied, his birth date was preset. God said to Sarah and Abraham, I'm going to do it at a time appointed. Now the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, the Bible tells us in Galatians, in the fullness of time. Now this child was named before he was born. Go back to Genesis chapter 17 and look, if you will, in verse 19. Call his name, the angel said, Isaac. Jesus was named before he was born. Matthew 1 verse 21, thou shalt bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Isaac was conceived by a miracle, just as Jesus was conceived as by a miracle. Isaiah 7 verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Our sweet Jewish friends, and I hope some of them are listening today to this program, you know, they wonder about our faith, that we believe in a virgin-born Savior. They wonder about that. Precious friend, if you're a Jew, I want to tell you something. You are here because of a miracle. Every Jew today is the result of a miracle birth. When Sarah and Abraham came together and had a son, that was a miracle. When little Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. I can see Abraham coming out of the maternity ward on a cane saying, it's a boy. Here he is, 100 years of age. Listen, the birth of Isaac was prophesied. He came at a set time. His name was given before he was born. His very birth was because of a miracle conception, and he was counted as Abraham's only beloved son. Let's go back to our text now, beginning in verse 1. And this is Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that literally means God did test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Now watch this. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Now what does that remind you of? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here was this one, conceived by a miracle, counted as Abraham's only son. And now God the Father says, Abraham, I want you to offer your son, your only son, as a burnt offering. Abraham saw his son raised from the dead. Now, he did not see him literally raised from the dead, but he saw him figuratively raised from the dead. The Bible, go down to verse 4. And it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That is, he saw Mount Moriah afar off. Abraham and Isaac going to the place of sacrifice. After 3 days, Abraham sees Moriah as it rears its head there on the horizon. In the heart and mind of Abraham, from the time that God told Abraham to put his son to death, was 3 days. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was 3 days and three nights in the grave. In the heart and mind of Abraham, Isaac was as good as dead for 3 days. You say, Pastor, I think you're pushing the point here. No, I'm not. Put in your margin Hebrews 11 and verse 19. The Bible says that Abraham did this, and I'm reading, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham said, God, if you want me to put my son to death, then you're going to have to raise him to life again. And he did in a figure, symbolically, Abraham received Isaac raised from the dead. Can you see how Isaac pictures Jesus? Say yes. How Isaac pictures Jesus. He is the son of prophecy and promise. His birth is at a set time. His name is given before he is born. He is conceived of a miracle. He is the only beloved son. He is offered up as a sacrifice. He is received from the dead. God has just put an Old Testament Calvary here just to show us that Calvary was not incidental or accidental, that Calvary had been in the heart and mind of God for centuries, actually before God created the universes. Now, the very first thing we're talking about is a special person. His name is Isaac. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see today. Not only a special person, but a specific place. Look in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 again. And he said, God is saying to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there, underscore Moriah, off, underscore there, for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, underscore that, which I will tell thee of. He didn't just say any place. You go to a particular place. And then, if you will, look down at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. What was this place? It was Mount Moriah. And by the way, Moriah means foreseen of the Lord. Now keep that in your mind. That's what Moriah means, foreseen of the Lord. Here was a particular place in the heart and mind of God. God said, Abraham, take your beloved son and offer him upon one of the mountains that I will show you. Now listen. Listen very carefully, friend. This is a big universe. I went out and I looked up at the stars. That vast stellar universe. Empires and empires of stars piled one upon another, stretched across the black velvet of space. And I just had to give a gasp as I looked up there. And you know, the astronomers tell us that there are 100 million known galaxies. Now, our galaxy is the Milky Way. And out of that 100 million galaxies, God chose one galaxy, the Milky Way. And the Milky Way, 100,000 light years from rim to rim. 600 million billion miles of space. A disk-like galaxy revolving around its center. And can you imagine 600 million billion miles of stars in the Milky Way? And God in the Milky Way finds one moderately small star, our sun. And then revolving around our sun, our solar system, is a handful of planets. And God takes one planet, planet Earth. And God says, the earth is the Lord's. The earth, it all belongs to Him, but there's one planet that is very special. The earth is the Lord's. And then of this magnificent globe called planet Earth, God rejects many so-called beautiful places, magnificent places, and He takes a little land there on the edge of the Mediterranean, and he calls it his land. That's the land of Israel. And then in the land of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, God takes one city out of that land, and he calls that city Jerusalem, the city of the great king, the holy city. The earth is the Lord's. This land is my land. This city is the holy city. And God keeps tightening the focus, and God takes one mountain in that city, in that land, on that earth, in that solar system, in that galaxy. God takes one little place, one mountain, and he calls that mountain my holy hill. Now, what was so important about that? Do you know where Moriah is and was? Friend, Moriah is Calvary. Calvary. That's where the temple was built, on Moriah. That's where Jesus died, on Moriah. And God said, now, Abraham, take your son, the son of miracle birth, your beloved son, the son that you love, the son that I named, the son that I gave to you, take that son and take him to the place I'll show you of. And you sacrifice him there. There. A special person, a specific place. Doesn't it remind you of Luke 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him? You see, Moriah means foreseen of the Lord. A special person, a specific place, a solemn purpose. A solemn purpose. Verse 2, God says to Abraham, offer him up. Offer up your son. Now, Abraham and Isaac start up Mount Moriah. The others cannot go. Abraham says to the others, you stay here. The lad and I are going to worship God. And I'll tell you, God the Father and God the Son have gone places you and I will never know. This picture's dark Gethsemane, as the Lord Jesus went alone with the Father. Can you imagine what must have gone through the heart and mind of Isaac? Can you imagine the suffering of Isaac? Isaac looked at his father, and his father had a fire. There were no matches in that day, so he had to carry a torch with him. It's going to be a burnt offering. And Abraham had a fire in one hand, and in the other hand, Abraham had a knife. And they're going up Mount Moriah. Isaac doesn't know what is about to transpire. He can tell there's a troubled look on his father's face. And he says, Father, I see the fire. I see the knife. Where is the sacrifice? Look in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Isaac now is beginning to understand. He's beginning to understand that he is going to be the sacrifice. Look in verse 9. And when they came to the place which God had told him of, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now don't get the idea here that Isaac is a little baby boy. Isaac is a strapping teenage boy. Abraham now is well over 100 years of age. Isaac could have outrun him. Isaac could have wrestled him to the ground and overpowered him. But Isaac allows himself to be bound. As the Savior said in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." You see, Isaac did not refuse to be a sacrifice. As Jesus laid down his life, they said he saved others, himself he could not save. Concerning Jesus, it was himself he would not save. Now, Isaac goes up that hill carrying his cross, as it were. Look, if you will, in verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Here is Isaac carrying, as it were, the wood of his cross up Calvary. He laid aside the gold of his glory. He took the wood of our wickedness and the wood of our weakness. Doesn't this remind you of John chapter 19, verse 17, speaking of Jesus, and he bearing his cross went forth into the place, into a place called the place of a skull? Now listen, notice the sacrifice, the suffering of the cross. Look, if you will, in verses 9 and 10. And when they came to the place which God had told him of, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son and laid him upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The cord speaks of the binding power of sin. The knife speaks of the bleeding power of sin. The wood speaks of the burning power of sin. It speaks of all that Jesus would suffer on that cross for us. And it foretells a time when God would lay his own dear son upon a cross and raise the knife of his fierce wrath against sin. You cannot imagine what it must have been like for Abraham at that moment. Don't think so much about Isaac, friend. Thank God for Isaac, but think for a little bit also about Abraham to sacrifice his own son. Now here's the fourth thing I want you to see. I've talked to you about a special person. I've talked to you about a specific place. I've talked to you about a solemn purpose, a sacrifice. Now here's a sacred promise I want you to see. Abraham is about to plunge that knife into the beating breast of his own dear son. And now look in verses 11 through 14. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Here's the scene. Abraham is ready to make the sacrifice. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." That knife did not fall upon Isaac because one day it would fall upon Jesus. Here the scene shifts. No longer is Isaac a picture of the Savior, but now God dramatically shifts the scene and Isaac becomes a picture of Adrian and of Bob and of you. He's there. He's destined to receive the knife. But there's a change. God says, "Isaac, get up. There is a substitute for you. There is a sacrifice that's going to take your place." And Abraham looks up, and there is a ram caught in a thicket, in thorns, by his head. His horns are caught in a thicket. Do you know what that was? It was a lamb crowned with thorns. That's what it was. A lamb crowned with thorns. And God says, take that one, and sacrifice him instead of Isaac. And Isaac is up, and a substitute is down. What a picture of Calvary. What a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me and for you. And look at the sacred promise. Here's the sacred promise. Look at it now in verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is seen, as it is said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? Calvary. That's the promise. In the mount of the Lord, in this same place, God will provide himself a lamb, foreseen of the Lord. It will be seen. Now you can understand the Bible when it says that Abraham saw my day and was glad. Now you can understand what the Bible means when it says that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Do you think Abraham was glad that day when Isaac got up and that ram got down? Of course he did. Now, folks, let me just tell you what this means to me, and I'll be finished. Remember again that Moriah means foreseen of the Lord. Remember that Jehovah Jireh, that's how God described himself, was the God who is sufficient, the God who will provide. He's done that for me. God called me to preach as a teenage boy. My dad wasn't able to send me to college or to seminary. Joyce and I got married and we were just kids. I was 19, about to turn 20. She was 18. We didn't have anything. We went off on our honeymoon with $50. That's it. 8 years I spent in school. 7 of those 8 years married. God provided it all. I worked as a car salesman, worked as a fruit packer, worked as a busboy, worked as a meat cutter, worked as a construction worker, worked as an elevator mechanic, done all kinds of things. I can remember one time in school, I went to buy my lunch. I reached in my jeans. I had 21 cents. I looked at the menu, a cheese sandwich was 20 cents. She said, you want anything to drink? I said, no, ma'am. But I still had one penny. And I want to tell you, friend, God has provided. I can tell you something, folks. We took care of our children. We started our family when we were in school. For 7 years, we lived from hand to mouth, and I'm talking about God's hand to our mouth. It was Jehovah Jireh. When I started preaching, I said, dear God, how am I going to preach? I preached 3 or 4 times, and I preached everything in the Bible and everything there was to preach. There was nothing left to preach after I preached 3 or 4 times. And I preach now, I average preaching 5 times a week every week, sometimes more, sometimes more. But I'm going to tell you something, folks, God provides. And out of the wealth of His Word and out of the riches of His grace, God provides. Joyce and I laid away a little baby that died after we just graduated from seminary. We never tasted that kind of bitter sorrow. Where did we go? To Jehovah Jireh. God has provided. When we decided we want to move out here, this thing, folks, was impossible. How did we do it? Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Do you know why God provided for Abraham? Because Abraham was willing to give back to God that which God had already provided to him. Who was it that gave Abraham Isaac? Was Almighty God. How could Abraham trust Isaac back to God? Because God had given him Isaac to begin with. Now folks, listen to your pastor. Anything God has given you, you can trust Him with. Amen. Now if God hadn't given it to you, you don't need it anyway. Anything God has given you, you can trust Him with. So take everything you have and hold it this way and say, Lord, it's yours. A father took his son to McDonald's. They were having father-son fellowship, and the son bought a large pack of fries. And the father and son sat down there, and the father reached out to get a French fry to eat. And the boy put his hand on his father's hand. Said, Dad, those are mine. That father said, something flew all over me. He said to himself, my son has a bad attitude. And then he said, what he doesn't realize is that I bought those fries. And what else he doesn't realize is that I could take them all from him if I wanted to. And what else he doesn't realize is I've got enough money in my pocket, I could bury him with French fries. And if I wanted to, I could go get my own French fries. And he said, God spoke to me. He said, all that stuff you think is yours, I gave it to you. And I could take it from you if I wanted to. And I could bury you in more blessings if I wanted to. And I don't need your French fries. I want to have some fellowship with you. Friend, it wasn't Isaac that God wanted. It was Abraham. That's what God was after. A man who could love Him and trust Him. God says, I love you so much, I am not going to spare my son. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? Now folks, it's time we loved and trusted our Father more. Calvary, bloody Calvary, ought to kill any selfishness in us and fill our hearts with praise. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not saved, let me tell you that Jesus died for you. And the fierce knife of God's wrath was plunged into the bosom of Jesus that it might not fall upon you. God allowed the Lord Jesus to be crowned with thorns that you might be crowned with grace and forgiveness. Would you receive Him right now? Would you pray a prayer like this? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to get off that altar. And that, Lord, you took my place. And now, Lord, by faith, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Save me, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Friend, may I have another moment of your time? If you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, would you write to us? Let us rejoice with you, and we'll send you some literature to help you to get started in your Christian life. And may God bless you as you go on for Jesus Christ.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as we explore these fundamentals of the Christian faith with Adrian Rogers. You can stream this message again and download Pastor Rogers' outlines and notes on this message, all at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. While you're there, be sure to check out our new Bible studies on these same topics, as well as Pastor Rogers' audio series, Back to the Basics, also available at lwf.org. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive our daily heartbeat email, which includes a written devotional and a 90-second inspirational audio clip, both from Adrian Rogers, as well as a link to our daily radio program delivered directly to your computer or mobile device each morning. And if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, check us out on social media at LWF Ministries. And don't forget, you can catch up with our program each week on our Facebook page or YouTube channel or on the My LWF app. Thanks for joining us for our program today. We'll see you next time.
The Bible says in John, speaking of Jesus, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." But that word literally is, "The Word was made flesh and it tabernacled among us." So Jesus was a tabernacle in which the Shekinah glory of God dwelt.
All Scripture is a picture of Jesus Christ, even the Old Testament tabernacle in all of its vivid glory. Adrian Rogers shares the meaning of the intricate details of the tabernacle and how they reflect Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in this new book from Love Worth Finding, Seeing Jesus in Unexpected Places. Based on a series of 13 messages from Adrian Rogers, Seeing Jesus in Unexpected Places allows you to read along as the Bible reveals the beauty and symbolism of the tabernacle and its significance to our faith in Jesus Christ. Included in the book are links to the original audio messages from Adrian Rogers. For your gift this month, we'd love to send you Seeing Jesus in Unexpected Places. Call with your gift at 1-800-647-9400, or you can give online at lwf.org.